Good afternoon. Good afternoon, and welcome back to the Mission Church Leadership Summit. I hope your stomachs are nice and satisfied and your listening ears are on. But we have our own Pastor Greg Johnson. Amen. From the oxen to the anointing.
All right.
When God calls a leader. And this workshop is sponsored by Emory and Webb Insurance. So without much ado, let's give it up for Pastor Greg.
All right. Thank you. All right, from the oxen to the anointing, a scripture I want to start with, 2 Kings chapter 2. If you have a Bible, you can go there, or else you can read it off the LED wall here. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. One of the greatest things that can happen in your life or to any life is for God to throw a mantle on them. For God to put his call on that life into a specific purpose, a vocation, a ministry, a spiritual office. And it's something that we should all want. Amen? We should all want to go to the next level in God's will for our lives, whatever it is, whether it's ministry or whether it's some vocation, even in secular field, that God wants to use us in for his glory. Something we should all want. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, that I would lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me." Amen. So when Elisha said, "I want a double portion," Elijah, he didn't get mad at him. He didn't say, "You arrogant little boy, who do you think you are asking for these things?" Not at all. In verse 10, he said, "You can have it as long as you stay with me." So Jesus said that many are called, but few are chosen. Just because a calling may come to your life does not automatically mean that you will be chosen to fulfill that call. What does that mean? It means there is a process involved, a season between being called and then being chosen or released into that office, a season of maturing your faith, of deepening your character, and bringing you to a place in your humility, in your integrity, in your sense of responsibility, even your work office ethic, even your gifting, so that you will be able to support that office or that anointing that God wants to put upon your life. I say it like this: leadership will destroy the man or the woman whose character has not been prepared for it. Higher levels bring higher devils. Come on, let's say it. Higher levels, higher devils. What does that mean? With promotion, with advancement, with enlargement in the kingdom of God comes greater temptations, harsher attacks, more intense warfare will be introduced into your life. So God is not simply interested in giving you an anointing, what he wants to do is enlarge your character to be able to support that anointing or that office or that mantle that you will walk into. Amen. He wants to enlarge character first, so that character will be like a foundation before he builds level and level and level upon your life. You need a good foundation. Amen. For instance, when Jesus implied that Peter would lead the church in Matthew 16 and that he would return to strengthen the brethren, he also said that Satan has asked for you that he would sift you as wheat. In other words, there would be a process involved of breaking and crushing and sifting and preparing so that Peter would be able to stand in that office that Jesus had ordained for him. When Samuel anointed David to be the next king of Israel in 1 Samuel 16, when that anointing came upon David, David did not immediately run into the throne room and say to Saul, I've got yesterday's anointing. I'm the new anointing. I'm the new leader. Get out of my seat. He didn't do that at all. What did David do? He went back to the hillside and he kept tending the sheep. Even though he received a calling and anointing on his life, he stayed in his place. He served in obscurity. He was alone in the wilderness going through a process. A process that involved fighting bears, fighting lions, using his sling, worshiping the Lord, preparing him for that moment when he would encounter a Goliath. It was a process involved from the anointing to the throne room. Jesus himself, when he was baptized in water and the Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, and the Father said, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Jesus did not immediately start in ministry. He didn't launch right out into ministry right away. The Bible says that the Spirit then drove him into the wilderness 40 days to be tempted, tested, proven. Even Jesus went through a process. Elisha was a great prophet. He received a mantle. He would receive a double portion. But there first had to be a process between accepting that mantle and receiving that double portion. It's what I call going from the oxen to the anointing. Now, what does that mean? I want you to go back earlier in the story of Elisha. Long before this encounter here that we read about in 2 Kings, go to 1 Kings chapter 19. Some estimate that it could be a decade before what we just read in 1 Kings chapter 19, where we find Elisha working behind a team of oxen. 1 Kings 19, it says this. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Verse 21, so Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elisha and became a mighty evangelist and launched his ministry. It doesn't say that, does it? He followed Elisha and became his servant. So this session is about hearing the call, wanting to receive the call of God, to go to the next level of usefulness for God in his kingdom. And maybe you're here today and you felt the call of God. You felt the leading of God to go further, to go deeper, to go higher. The question that I want to address today is, what do you do with that? What do you do with that when you feel God drawing you into a calling? How do you mitigate that? What are the things that you need to be aware of? What's involved in the process from the oxen that we just read about to the anointing that we saw in 2 Kings chapter 2. There's some lessons here in 1 Kings 19. The first one is found in verse 19. It says, so Elijah found Elisha, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Take note that Elijah called Elisha when he was plowing, while he was working. Here's the first lesson. God throws a mantle, which means a calling. God throws a mantle on those who are already plowing. In other words, God looks for people who have taken up a position of service or work and are serving faithfully in that place. And that in order to hear God draw you to another place, you first got to be faithful in the place, in the position that you currently have. Elisha was plowing in the field. That was his assignment. That was the place that God had put him in to serve all season long, behind the team of oxen. And he stayed in it, and that's where God found him. God found him in that place, that assignment that he had received. So if you want to be used, if you want to go to the next level, if you desire ministry, if you desire a greater anointing in your life, never diminish the importance of embracing the place that God has given to you right now. Don't look beyond that place that you're in right now for something greater. Be faithful in that place. Jesus said in Matthew 25, 24, if you are faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much. Now, I don't know what field you may currently be plowing in, what place you have been given, what assignment you've received, but you've got to be faithful in that place before you can expect to be promoted to another. God looks for people who are faithful in their place. And the thing about faithfulness isn't what happens when the work you're doing is fulfilling or rewarding. That's easy. It's easy to be faithful when you're having fun. How many understand that? Faithfulness is what happens when the work is hard. It's what happens when it's monotonous, over and over and over. And by the way, there's no reward, there's no accolades, there's no appreciation, long hours, maybe even being forgotten about, no thanks, but still you keep returning again and again and again, being faithful in that place. Imagine Elisha behind the 12 yoke of oxen, covered in dirt, cloud of dust around him, sweaty, the mud being kicked up as they're plowing. There he is, working diligently. Elijah walks by and he says, that's the guy I want. I want that guy right there. Someone who's faithful in their place, even though it's hard and uncomfortable. The devil does not want you to stay in that place that you're currently in. He wants you to be impatient. He wants to tell you to find a better place. I say it like this. If the devil can't stop you, he'll get behind you and push. And this is true for many of us. The devil can't. I mean, you're under the blood of Jesus. You're walking with Jesus. You're walking in the world. The devil can't stop you. He knows that. But what he can do is he can get behind you and he can push. He can try to push you into a promotion before your character, your integrity, your humility is prepared enough to be able to support all that's going to come at you in that place of promotion. The devil will come alongside of you and say, what are you still doing in this place? You deserve to be in a better place than this. How long have you been driving those oxen? How long have you been showing up in this monotony, week after month after month, year after year? And you start to notice how other people have been promoted and given platforms, but all you have still is this plow. And so you start reaching for something else. You start positioning for something that God hasn't really given you. And it starts to dislocate you from the place that God has called you into. And the unfortunate thing, if Elisha had grown discontent with his place and he had removed himself from behind that plow and said, I deserve to be in a better place, when Elijah walked by, he would have never found him. He wouldn't have been in the place. And he would have missed what God had for him. Where was David when the call of God came looking for him. Where was he? Remember the story? Where was he? He was out in the field. He was in his place, tending the sheep, right? And then even after he was anointed to be the next king of Israel, what did he do? He stayed in his place. His brothers were promoted. His brothers went to serve with Saul, but David stayed in his place. He just stayed faithful. And then one day, his father, Jesse, came to him and said, David, I have a task for you. He said, I want you to go to the battlefront where your brothers are, and I want you to take these cheeses. He had this platter of cheese. I said, I want you to take these cheeses to your brothers at the battlefront, right? And can you imagine David? Could you imagine him saying, cheese? Is that all you got for me? Don't you know I'm anointed? Don't you know I've got a calling on my life? Don't you know I have a royal, majestic anointing on my life, and you want me to carry some cheese? Imagine that, right? But that's where a lot of people go right there, right? They're too anointed to do things that they believe is below the calling. But David didn't do that. David said, yes, Father, and he took the cheese and he carried the cheese to his brothers on the battlefront. And it was because David said yes to the cheese. Imagine if he said no. But because David said yes to the cheese, he heard the voice of Goliath off in the distant, cursing God. Right? The cheese, his willingness to carry the cheese, to do his duty, to stay in his place, hallelujah, brought him face to face with God's plan, destiny. Right, so I say it like this. If you'll carry the cheese will carry you to your destiny. Let me say it again. If you will carry the cheese, stay in your place, the cheese will carry you to your destiny. Tell somebody, carry the cheese. Tell somebody else, stay in your place. Amen? Right? Stay in your place. Even though it might be hard and monotonous and you've been there a long time, if God gives you a broom and tells you to sweep the front, then you sweep unto Jesus. Amen? Right? If God tells you, if you get an opportunity to serve in the nursery, you go in that nursery and you change all them stinky diapers unto Jesus. Right? Right? Royal Rangers, Girls Ministries, whatever it is that God's given you, you go in there and you stay in your place and you carry the cheese. And if you'll be faithful in your place and you'll carry the cheese will carry you to your destiny. Amen, right? So don't get big-headed because you feel like the call of God's on you. Many are called, few are chosen. When you're faithful in little, I'll make you ruler over much. That's the first lesson. Second lesson is also in verse 19. He says there, Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And look at this, he was with the 12th. He was with the 12th. I love that. Lesson number two, God looks for people who don't have to be out in front. Right, so that's the scene. 12 yoke of oxen, which means there's 24 oxen that are lined up two by two. Elisha is behind the last yoke of two oxen there. He's driving the team. Imagine his brothers are aligned all around him. Maybe, you know, they're alongside some of those yoke of oxen, and they're driving them on, and maybe some are out in front pulling a little bit. But Elisha was the 12th. He was in the back. He was the last man. The last man. I love that. God looks for people who don't have to be first. They don't have to be out in front. Most people want to be out in front. They want to be the leader. They want to be the visionary. They want to be the one in command. In Mark chapter 10, James and John came to Jesus and they said in verse 37, they said, Jesus, let us sit on your right hand and your left hand when you come into your kingdom. They thought leadership, ministry, the call of God, that it was all about position. It was all about prestige. It was all about admiration and being in a place of respect. They thought there was a certain level of entitlement that came along with it. And Jesus said in verse 42, he said, that may be the way leadership works out there in the world, where people lord their authority over others and they use their position to benefit themselves and they use the people they're leading to serve their own ambitions. He says in verse 43, but it shall not be so among you. Whoever desires to be great among you shall be a servant. Amen. So what does that mean? If you're interested in being admired, if you need to be noticed, you need to be acknowledged, you need to be appreciated, you need to be recognized, God can't use you. And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who go into ministry with a need to be noticed, a need to be seen. They're ministering out of their neediness. It's like a codependency on the ministry. They need that ministry and the affirmation that they expect to help them feel good about themselves. You know, there are a lot of people walking through life who don't like themselves. And they're using ministry to help to prop themselves up emotionally because of the affirmation that comes through ministry or leadership, and it makes them feel good about themselves, and people are patting them on the back and telling them how great they're doing. But unfortunately, ministry doesn't always provide those pats on the back. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? And so what do you have? You have a lot of people serving in ministries who get offended because they didn't get the certificate. They get offended because they didn't get the recognition. Because somebody who stood up and acknowledged all the people on the team and their name was forgotten. And they get offended. Why? Because they were serving with a need to be out in front. They're serving with a need to be acknowledged, right? That's the value. I like what Christine Kane said. She said, God called us to be co-laborers, not co-stars. Isn't that good? Amen. The stage is not being set for you. It's not a place for you or me to showcase our gifts or get applause or shine in the spotlight. It's about Him, only Him, always Him. All glory, all honor, all focus, all fame is only for His name. It's only for Him. And too many have a need to be noticed. I'll always remember when God told Elijah to throw a mantle on someone, he walked past the guy on the front. He walked past everyone else that was in comfortable positions, and he went to the guy in the back, the lowest place, the last place, who had no interest in being out front. Amen. Amen. Right? Which brings me to the next point from verse 19 and being with the 12th. It's about humility. Can you say humility? Third lesson, God uses people, calls people who serve with contrition. This is what it takes to plow in the back, in obscurity, not being noticed. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll do what? He'll lift you up. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. I like how it says, humble yourselves. Amen. It's something that we have to initiate and be intentional about. Because there's a danger with being gifted and talented. There's a danger that comes along with being in leadership, right? Or being someone who's recognized as, you know, someone who's very accomplished on the team. It's the tendency to think that because I have the gift, because I have the talent, because I have the title, because I am the leader, I'm the important one on the team. That because I'm the leader or I'm the gifted one, I matter more than anyone else. I'm the special one with the vision that God uses. There's a danger in that, right? We call that pride. How many know what pride is, right? Amen? Ego. Everybody say ego. Ego. Don't point at anybody when you say that, please. Don't be like, yeah, ego. No, don't do that. But I've learned over the years, you know what ruins most churches? You know what ruins most churches? Gifted people. Gifted people. Now, I appreciate the gifts, and I love people that have gifts, and I love those gifts, but it's the entitlement that often comes along with the giftedness. Being easily offended because they don't get the position, because they don't get the treatment, because they don't get the recognition or the award, and they get offended because they think their gift entitled them to something, and they didn't get that something, and now they're carrying an offense. And what happens with a lot of the gifted people, because their feelings are hurt now, they spread their offense to everyone around them. Right? I believe the church, I love gifted people, but we don't need more gifted people. We need more humble people that are just willing to serve. Just willing to serve. People who are willing to run to the back of the oxen and do what no one else is willing to do and be faithful. Amen. Amen. Again, I love the gifted. I love the talented. I appreciate them. But James did not say, be gifted and talented in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. He said, humble yourselves. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. And your humility will be tested. It will be tested. There will be those moments when your name is forgotten. There will be those moments when you're not appreciated. Somebody else is. You're left out of the meetings. You don't get invited. You don't get the recognition. It will happen. There will be opportunities given to you where you'll be asked to perform at a level that you believe is below your office or your ability or your anointing. I remember there are times, I remember on a Sunday morning, I had to come in here, we had some poinsettias or something up here, a couple of them fell over, and I remember grabbing the vacuum cleaner, pulling it out of the closet and just vacuuming up here. And I remember the choir, the worship team was practicing up here, and they're like, the pastor's running a vacuum cleaner? Well, actually, I learned it from my wife. She told me, my wife said, you're never more attractive to me than when you're running the vacuum cleaner. So, we have very clean floors in my house. I remember one time it was a Wednesday night, I was walking out of my office, I was coming to the sanctuary, and the worship leader's son got sick. He had stomach virus or something, and he started vomiting. I'm there in the hallway, and the son with the father, the boy starts vomiting, and the father picks him up and rushes him into the men's room, which is right down the hallway here, and then there's a trail of niceties all the way down the hallway there, right? And the father, he had to get his kid and get him out and take him home, take care of him, whatever. But guess who had the privilege of cleaning up the vomit that night? Yeah, the lead pastor. You'll be presented with opportunities to demonstrate your humility. Because God's not interested in the charismatic. He's not interested in the good-looking and the talented. God's looking for those who are humble and contrite and can serve faithfully from the rear of the oxen. People who are not too proud to set up chairs or do the greeting or the ushering or clean the floors or change diapers in the nursery or mop the floors. Because in the kingdom of God, the mop is mightier than the microphone. Amen. Amen. In the kingdom of God, the way down is the way up. How many understand that? Right? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. We're not done yet. There's one more lesson here that I want to give you about receiving a mantle in verse 21. So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Here's the fourth lesson. When God calls, when God puts a call on your life, it may require you to break some yokes and slaughter some oxen. God often calls people while they're yoked to things that they shouldn't be yoked to. He doesn't wait until you're perfect. He doesn't wait until your character is solid and you're free from yokes. You may be struggling with sin. You may be attached to some yokes. God will still call you because he sees the potential in you. He knows what he wants to do in your life, right? But that means that you're going to have to break some yokes. Amen. Amen. Right? In fact, there may be some things that some people feel, I can do this and be a Christian. I can do this without conviction. But because you know where you're going and where God wants to take you, for you, you can't do those things. You don't have those liberties. Amen. Right? You want to embrace discipline. You want to go to a higher level. You want to perform with a different ability, right? And so there are going to be some things that you got to stop doing. There got to be some people you got to stop running with. There got to be some places that you stop going to. There are going to be some sins. You're going to have to repent from. There are going to be some bondages that you're going to need to break. And you might say, well, I know, but I've been trying to get free. I've been trying to break free from these things, but I can't. I'm weak. I'm trapped. I'm addicted. I'm dependent. But I'm telling you this. Yes, you're right. You can't do it. Not in your strength. In your strength, you cannot do anything. But in Christ, you can do all things. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. Jesus said to Paul, he said, in your weakness, my strength is perfected. Hallelujah. If the grace is on you, if you're feeling the grace of God on you, calling you into a place, know that in that moment, the grace will be on you to break yokes and slaughter the oxen in your life that you need to. All you need to do is give Jesus a yes. To say, yes, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get free. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get to that place, but Lord, my answer is yes. Yes, Lord, take me where you want me to go. Amen? Amen. Amen. And embrace the process. I got a minute left, right? I said it before you said it, right? I got a minute left, right? Lesson 5. When God calls you, embrace the process. Verse 21, then he arose, followed Elijah, and became his servant. Amen. Amen. In fact, in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, he was known as Elisha, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. He wasn't known by his title, his gifting, his charisma, or his anointing. He was known by the integrity of his servanthood. Embrace the process. Amen? Embrace them. Give Jesus a yes. Stay faithful in your place. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil get behind you and push. You be faithful in the monotony. and see what God does. Amen. So, Father, I want to pray, God, your blessing on everyone here, Lord, who's heard this word. God, there are some that you've put your call on their life, Lord. You're trying to draw them to a higher place or to a different place, Lord, to the next level. In the name of Jesus, give them the grace, Lord God. Give them the grace, Lord God, to embrace that process, Lord Jesus. And for those, God, that are in the call, they're in the call right now. I just pray, God, you'll give them the grace that they need to go further in your will and to achieve all that you've called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, can we give it up for Pastor?